Sure that you all realize that it's not really a forum for your personal complaints. We have grievance day available. Like it's available to take phone calls and such to deal with your specific personal questions. Try and limit it to 3 minutes. Only one question. Reevaluation. Everyone got a copy of it. When you came in the door are two web addresses that should answer many of your questions. I got those from them, and they will help you understand the process and what your options are. And certainly, all of us on the board understand the frustration some of you are feeling. Some of us are in the same boat. And I just want everybody to know that this revaluation has been in the works for a few years. Previous board reappointed Mr. Maxwell for another term. The reval was set to take place by 2021. And this process does not occur overnight. There's planning, research, and time involved, not to mention coordination with the state and county. And one of the complaints that I've heard most from people is, you know, how could the town do this during a pandemic when folks are out of work and struggling? I hope everyone realizes that no one could have foreseen the pandemic, and it's been in the works for a couple of years. The assessments have dropped so much, down to 83% is the huge amount of property that is sold for many thousands more than what the assessed value was. Mike Maxwell has been detailing that to us over the last couple of years, and at some point that difference has to be made up. We got to go from that 83% back up to 100%. By doing that, and if the board does our job and keeps our spending under control, the higher level of tax base means a lower tax rate and a tax bill that should not change much. So hopefully, between all of us, we do our job, we keep everything within reason, and we can move forward. With that, I would like to have Mike and Devin make any comments that they might want to make to start this off. And then I'll go into asking questions. Or I mean, you can go into asking questions. I'll start calling our people. So thank you for bearing with me while I got through that little introduction. Mike, you want to go ahead?
I don't really have a lot of comments. Most of the people have called with concerns about the assessments. I think most of them we've got worked out. Obviously, there was some incorrect data on some properties, especially some of the camps that weren't completed on the inside, and I got sent photos to show that they weren't done. I was on the phone Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I don't think I had 20 calls between the 3 days. In fact, Thursday and Friday, I don't think I had 5 calls between Thursday and Friday. So I don't know if people are waiting until May when I'm sitting with a role in person, or you know, what is going on, but I'm not seeing that much discontent. I mean, what I've been doing on the phone, if I go, the office is in the basement of my house. If I go upstairs to get something to eat or go to the bathroom, I come back down, there's a missed call. I find the number and I call the person back and we try to go over stuff with them on the phone. I've sent out probably 100 to 150 comp sheets or sales to show people where we're coming up with the numbers. again, I really haven't seen that many calls or that much concerns. I don't know if it's, you know, being backlogged and having to wait till hey, what's going on. The other thing was I actually stuffed all of the envelopes with the new assessments. I was quite taken back by how many are not local. I think of the 1,400 properties, if you throw out the state man, I almost want to say half the town is not local assessments, or local people. We have one going as far as away as San Diego, California. In fact, I took a picture of it and sent it to my son because that's where they live. So, I mean, a lot of Pennsylvania, Connecticut. Pennsylvania, I think, is probably one of the largest groups of people that own property up there because of the fishing. But and that's causing some of the problems with the spike in the sales, because obviously you're getting people that have a different income than the people that live locally, and they're buying properties at a much higher value. But on the other hand, they're only paying what the people that are selling for are asking. So it's twofold. I mean, I really haven't seen, I don't know how much discontent there is, but I really haven't seen much when I'm thinking about the phones. Well,
Devin, are you there?
Yep, I am. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
My name is Devin Stewart. I work for New York State in the Office of Real Property Tax Services. So I've been talking with Mike Maxwell right along his project. Our office is in Syracuse. We help out not only Oswego County, but, you know, all the counties in New York State. Any town that's doing a reassessment, we're there to help them along, any New York State legal questions and that type of thing. So I was, you know, talking with Mike right along throughout this revaluation, and just wanted to be here for the meeting and introduce myself.
Thanks, Devin. I'm going to go right into some people that want to make comments. And, see if we can take care of that. First up, we have William Hall. If you would just stand up and introduce yourself.
My name is William Hall. I live on Centerville Road, 485. I don't know if I'm going to change the subject, but the reason I come here was about the gravel bed, the one across the road. I don't have a problem with free enterprise, but just for winter, I was talking to the highway guy, and he said, hey, you're going to have a gravel bed over there. And I said, really? Okay. I don't have a problem. But the people on that road knew nothing about it. So my concern is my house value going to go down? Because now there's going to be all these trucks hauling from the gravel bed. And I'm just concerned, like the road, who's going to fix the road? The town don't have this big budget. But he said, he's a nice guy. He worked with me on my driveway in the end, you know, but he said, so he agreed to fix the road. But how much are you going to fix the road? It's only still in oil. So you got, you know, 30, 40 ton truck going down there how many times a day? And it's already breaking up on the end of the road at the Rich Iron line. And it's really small road. All these roads are small. I get it. But I drive truck, so I know somebody's going to get hurt. I'm for it, but there's just got to be a lot of safety concerns. The speed. I mean, at 6 in the morning, I don't want to hear a truck coming in to get loaded with an engine brake. Instead of hearing my roosters or woodpeckers, I'm going to hear trucks at 6 in the morning or 6 at night. So I don't know anything about it, like operations. When they're going to work, Saturdays, or till dark. You know, they spread manure there at the cornfield, which is fine, it's part of life. But they do it till dark, they come in screaming, they do that. You live with it, you don't say nothing. But at some point, it's still the country. Yeah, you know, we want to see growth, we want to see income for the town, better roads, better everything. But what I'm asking is, do you know a lot about it, their operations, and how the road, who's going to pay for the road? Are the highway guys going to do it? Are they going to have subcontractors come in and say, hey, let's fix this whole section?
I have some answers for you.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's basically why I'm here, because of that.
Yep, I'll address what I know about that.
And you did kind of change the subject on me.
I did, because I got confused, and I'm not here about my taxes. Yep, okay, right. A lot of taxes in different places, trust me. So,
okay, well, we'll get into that. As far as that goes, they have agreed that they will only operate Monday through Friday. I believe 8 a.m. to 5, if I remember correctly.
Right, okay.
We got a whole bunch of information on that,
right,
because it had to go through a huge process with the DEC,
sure,
and everybody else to be approved. So they agreed to certain things. They have agreed to help maintain the road. Now, that's not to say that they're going to fix the road,
right,
but
right,
our guys and him, Bob Coffin, who's the one that owns it.
Yep.
He's agreed to help,
okay,
and to help fix the road.
And if he does, then hopefully the town say, hey, look, the road is getting bad. You're not keeping up the your end of the deal here, because
he's a, shouldn't really speak out of turn, I guess, but he's a local guy. A lot of people,
right,
know him.
I mean, I don't know. He's probably a great guy. Yeah. But business is business, and sometimes you don't want to spend money.
So if you have problems in or questions in the future.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the safety issue. And I'm bad enough to cars. I'm in the 35-mile-an-hour section. Cars are doing 60 and 70. You know, you can call the trooper and say, look, can you patrol this area? I know there's worse things going on than this. But my wife almost got hit by a car checking the mail. Okay, because the cars, it's hard to judge if they're coming 30 or 70, a quarter mile away. You know what I mean? So her judgment, she started walking and it was like near a bit.
Well, you got two people here tonight that might be able to help you. Our legislator is here and the deputy's here.
Right.
We'll let them know and maybe they can keep an eye on that stretch for a little while.
It'd be great because it's a great little part of town. I love it. You know what I mean? I bought it 2 years ago. And...
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Anita Rose.
Hi, I'm Anita. I've been a member of this community since I was a child, a family. I'm an adult now, I'm a children. I bought a home here a few years back, and at first at the auction, I needed a lot of work. It still does. My roof is leaking. The porch is falling off. My assessment went up around 100%. And my only question is how the mill rate is calculated per property, because I've looked up properties in the area and what they've been increased or decreased to. And it just doesn't make sense. You got homes in the village that, well, now it's still down. But the whole reason of solving the village was to reduce property taxes for the community. And it just doesn't make sense how the mill rate is calculated per property. So I just like to understand how the mill rate is calculated, because I know everybody on my road, their property got increased 100% and they've done nothing to their home for it to be increased. When I called about it, I was told about the property on Barber Road. Did a little research and I looked it up. Well, they are from out of state, but that's not the problem. The home is, so I was told the home taxable to mine, absolutely false. The home has way more acreage. It actually had additional parcels sold with it, a lot of parcels, and had more bedrooms, more bathrooms, overlooked a nice farm. So, you know, my question is just how does mill rate calculate? And I don't think because somebody buys property for more than it's worth that everybody else should be to suffer for it.
Get into that, please.
I don't know what she's, the mill rate is, that is the tax rate per thousand, so that's calculated by dividing the total assessment into the new budgets, or into the current budgets. As far as what she's getting at, the house on Barber Road did sell for three something, and it included the pond, the house, and another 40 some acre lot with a pole barn on it, sold for 325 or 330. So it was used as a comparable for properties that had land and houses built probably after 1960, 1970. But obviously there's just more than one sale that would justify the numbers. If there's problems with the house as far as deferred maintenance and that, take some current photos and bring them in and we'll go over them. This roof stuff is a pain because somebody says, "Oh, I got to need a new roof." So when you put the new roof on, do you want me to raise the assessment?
Well,
I mean, that's the other question I have to say to you. I mean, so I think that is maintenance. So if you say it needs a new roof, okay. So now when you go and finally put the new roof on, do you want me to raise the assessment back up? I don't want to be a stickler about it, but that's kind of where my feeling is on a situation like that. Now, if that roof is to the point where it's rotting the upstairs of the house and there's all kinds of water issues on the inside, now it's a whole different story. But just to replace the roof, I'm not making an adjustment on the assessment because I'm not going to raise the assessment and put a new roof.
But her best course of action at this point would be take some photos, come in and see you on grievance type of thing? Or
if she's already talked with me on the phone, the best thing to do is wait until the notice is brought May 1st. I might have already made some adjustments and she might be receiving a second notice with an assessment that has actually been lowered. But I've done so much work here in the last 2 months. Whether or not I lowered her, what the status is, I don't know. And she'll find out the first week in May when the notices go out. There is a second round of notices going out. Everybody that has called me, I have put an eye in the system and it will generate a new notice for them. And whether or not the assessment has changed, it'll show whether it's changed. And the other thing is, there's some assessments that are going to go up. I've had a couple people call and say, "Oh, did you look at this? Did you know this? Did you know that?" And I take a second look at something and they say, "Yeah." So I've actually raised, not a lot, maybe 5 or 6 assessments that actually have gone up. But those notices will be out the first week in May. They'll give the daily grievances and also give the times and hours them submitted the role and the phone number and email again where they contact us.
Okay. Now you were saying that your assessment went up by 100%.
Yeah.
So you went from, say, 35,000 to 70,000.
Yeah.
And did that affect the tax? Your taxable amount?
Yeah, because my taxes are going to go up almost $800 a year.
Okay. So,
and that's a special tax. And I also, you know, just saying, there's trailers everywhere, but I've looked up people's properties. And even trailers has went up almost 100%.
Yeah.
They've done nothing to it, it's falling apart.
Right.
It's decrepit. It looks worse than what they did when they bought it. I don't understand how a trailer.
Everything's going to come up.
A trailer depreciates. It's made out of, you know, particle board.
The average sale of mobile homes in the town is between $35,000 and $50,000.
Depends on what it looks like.
Yeah, between $35,000 and $50,000. We just had a double wide. It just sold within the last month. And 20 acres of land, it's about 1,700 or 1,800 square foot double wide, sold for $170,000.
Remodeled inside out.
It's a newer one, but I've seen it sold for $170,000.
Put a brand new roof on it, remodeled inside out. Because it's 2,000 in it.
Well,
that's
what he's talking about. Right. As I mentioned, though, I mean,
yes, but
specifically look at your person.
10 years ago, that house was sold for 65,000, 75,000 at the most, but never sold for
170,000.
What was the process?
They should be, the taxes should be increased. Just like the home that her Mauer's son owned on Alvin Crossroads. That's sat at almost not even under $40,000 for how many years? Since he's not around. And they have a brand new in-ground pool. The whole room's been remodeled inside out. There's a batting cage outside, and now just all of a sudden it's been increased.
Well, that's the whole.
Yeah, now much more than some people's property that's comfortable, and they have an in-ground pool, everything brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sat paying that much money for a while when it was already remodeled. Just an example.
Yeah. I get it. Devin, do you have anything to add to that? Maybe. You know, put things in perspective as to how the process operates.
Should be there.
There we go. Thank you. I was muted. yes, the only thing I would add, I just want to make sure everyone does realize, you touched on this before, but After talking with Mike Maxwell about this, if you still don't agree with him about your assessment, that is the answer, is to go to on grievance day. At that point, it would, you know, be up to the Board of Assessment Review. So, you know, it's good to talk to Mike. You can give him a call, like he said. But if you still don't agree with his assessment after that, that would be your best bet at that point, would be to go to grievance day, and it would then be in the hands of the Board of Assessment Review, and you could plead your case there and show them that, you know, you don't believe these comps, these properties are comparable, and it would be up to the board at that time to make a change. So it's not a dead end. If you, you know, if you don't agree with Mike after speaking with him, you still do have a chance to speak with someone else and possibly have a reduction made.
You did them all last year.
An email and, you know, try to schedule them. I mean, obviously some people are just going to show up anyways, so I mean, we'll just try to do the best.
We'll only allow one couple in the room with Mike at one time.
Yeah.
All right, just so that, you know, it doesn't get,
yeah,
not everybody knows everybody else's business and so on. So Mike can set that up.
I certainly expected to have more people sign up, but that was it. Is there anyone else that wants to speak or has a question regarding the reval and such? I did it at the beginning of the meeting because we had Devin available to be here, and Mike as well, and I think Mike has to go to another meeting, and I don't know what Devin has planned, but that's why I did it early. So if anyone else has comment or question, now would be an opportunity, time to ask, as far as the reevaluation process.
I have a question. Why did we do it now amidst all the COVID and all the problems that are going on? You know, rentals, all sorts of problems across the country. Why this time, things are really tough right now. Why did we raise our assessment right now?
Because I said in the beginning, I don't think
we're not here.
No, we didn't hear.
So it's a process that takes time. When Mike was reappointed in 2019, at that time, he was directed to have the revaluation done in 2021. And in order to do that successfully, he has to coordinate with the state, with the county. So it's not something you just do on a whim.
The timing is not good. The
timing's not good, you're right. But could anybody have known we were going to have a pandemic in 2020?
Oh, you do. So you were managing
the
it's a process, unfortunately.
No, I understand.
It was a very bad time, but Mike or Devin, can you expand on that and give a better reason than I just gave?
Actually, I think some of the pandemic has also caused some of the increase in values. I know I'm seeing them in Hastings. I think there's a lot more out-of-town buyers coming into areas now and buying properties because they don't want to be in congested areas. So I think that has actually caused some of the spike in property values. But as far as creating, and the other thing I don't think anybody realizes, I had one of the most violent arguments for this town with somebody whose taxes went down by $1,500. The reason they were upset was because they figured over the last 10 years they overpaid by $15,000. And they wanted their money back. So, I mean, there's two sides of that coin.
There's as many people went up as people went down.
That's the only thing I could understand. There was the town, the county, the school didn't gain any money from the rebate. All the budgets were capped and the tax rates were capped according to the budget. So if somebody went up a dollar, somebody went down a dollar. No, there was no, the town didn't receive it, the town won't receive a nickel more from this rebuild than they did the year before unless they raise budget. Same thing with the county, same thing with the school. So if you got a $10 increase, there's somebody else in the town got a $10 decrease. So let's take it one step further. Even the town says, gee, this is a bad time to do this, let's cut this short. So everybody that got an increase is gonna say, okay, great, we don't have to do this increase. What are you gonna do about the people that got a decrease? You're gonna say, oh, never mind, you're not going to get that $300 decrease, you got to pay it. Well, that isn't going to go over too big, especially if they've been paying it over a 10-year period and they're out a couple thousand dollars. So it's, great. I agree that it's the greatest time in the world to do this, but the wheels are in motion and this
well,
is going to be
out. A lot of people in this community for years and years, and they don't have the kind of revenue money that the out-of-staters have. But they're driving up the prices and they're suffering because they can't afford it the way it is. Now, you can justify it any way you have to, I understand that, but that's what I think a lot of people are going to start to feel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they want to find any of the drop.
Or you're comparing stuff to Casanova. This is rural. This is rural America.
Nobody can control comparing anything to Casanova.
What?
We're not comparing any property
this
sales.
This was a couple of years ago when you were absolutely yelled at me. This is one particular. We were very particular. We'll sit with you face to face. I'm not going to bother other people here about that. But when you compare, you can't compare apples to oranges when it comes to rural America versus Casanova and Schenectady. All the money you brought, yeah, you can't compare that to out of town. That's absolutely not.
Well,
I'm a real estate guy. I know the way this works. I've been in the business 20 years. And what you're, this is just for
yeah,
I called the New York State Attorney General's office, and they were in shock. But with what I got in my paper, they're looking into it. So
can bring that to grievance or work to
grievance. And that there's days before grievance, that's one of the reasons we're here. There's
exactly.
Dates and times.
Thank you. Anything else?
Just to add on to that, go ahead.
I'm going to allow Devin and Mike to take off if there are no further.
Yeah, this is Devin Stewart. I was just going to say I agree with Mike as far as the comment about doing a reval during a pandemic.
I think the issue with what a lot of people feel right now is, like Ms. Rose said, it's not equal across the board. If you came up back to 100%, like if you looked at the database, ImageMate, last year you seen your assessment and then you seen full market value. Well, you're paying taxes on assessment. And we knew assessment was going to go back to 100%. I asked the question last year, didn't get a direct answer, but it's obvious, got it. But I think the problem is that not everybody went back or up to full market value. Some people went way above full market value. Some people just went a little bit above full market value. So if it's equal across the board, years ago, I've been on the board, previous board for a couple of years. We did 8%, and I think it was 8% across the board. And people, we were overwhelmed. We had a lot of people come in. that was equal across the board. So, you know, it took a couple days in here, 3 or 4 days of deliberations outside of here. But basically it was fair. So I think, you know, and I'm not saying it's unfair. I'm just saying that that's what people are going to look at. You know, they're going to look at it's the data's online. All you got to do is Oswego Real Property Database, yes, and you can see everybody.
Yep.
And I sit around, I look at people. Lady I know went up 70-some thousand dollars. No improvements, nothing. And her assessment's been the same for 7 or 8 years. And it just went up. And then, you know, if she asked me, I'm like, how do I justify that? I said, well, you know, you talk to an assessor, you always come into agreements. So I guess that's kind of what I want to put out there.
So you're saying that things sat for several years and then shot up suddenly?
Well,
yeah.
But that was where the problem was. When Denise did updates before, all he did was a flat trend across the board. So if an assessment was wrong to begin with, all she did was add 8% to a wrong assessment and move on. It was never done the way we just did it this past fall, where we actually did a reappraisal of every single property. So she did an 8% trend. Everybody got an 8% increase. Well, maybe somebody didn't deserve 8% of the increase. Maybe somebody deserved a 20% and somebody deserved a 10% decrease. That's the problem. And let me give you a perfect example. There's a house way out on the end of 104 that just sold in January, or excuse me, it closed in December. It was assessed at $55,000. This gentleman got on the phone with me, and he ripped me a new one. Well, guess what? He just paid $101,000 for it. And he wants to know how he can grieve it to lower his taxes. I said, your assessment is what you paid for it. Well, yeah, but I'm not going here. Then in talking about realtors, I just had a realtor send me a market analysis of property, and property just sold for $126,000. The realtor now told the couple it's worth $100,000. So where am I to go with that? There's an appraisal, there's a mortgage, and everything else for $126,000, and the realtor just told this couple with your market analysis that it's worth $100,000. It sold in July, excuse me, it sold in September for $126,000. Now listing's worth 25% less.
Because they're giving free grants away, if you know that. $15,000 you're supposed to put your hand. $15,000, $20,000, $10,000 grants new home buyers. So that's not from a realtor. You're pulling a fly up a wall and talking about one specific thing.
So
bottom line is it probably wouldn't sell for $100,000.
If they paid $126,000 for, there's an appraisal and there's a mortgage for that. There's an appraisal and there's a mortgage for that amount of money.
Sure.
They sent in 5217 to the county and said, this is what we paid for the property.
Yeah, we're not talking about one particular person who's not even here.
So the real
we're talking about the human beings
that are
that you say somebody goes way high or somebody goes low. That's illogical. That's just completely illogical. It doesn't make an ounce of sense. All we're looking for is how this makes sense.
Well, we as a community shouldn't have to suffer for the town assessor not doing their job properly either.
There you go.
They should have done the legwork when houses get sold or people do improvements. They should be out there assessing the home.
Yeah.
All right.
Not just all of the building
for
make up to their
job. The conversation here. We're here to ask questions about, you know, the revaluation process. So we're trying to describe that to everyone. Rick,
I think you can do the
question. I'm sorry, I can't see you over there.
I do have a question, because you have been the assessor in this town for how many years? Six? Seven?
Yeah.
And in that time, you should have done revals annually. You're supposed to see every parcel in this town. I don't mean on the computer. I mean, you're physically supposed to go there. I looked on the rolls, and I saw the picture of my house. It's at minimum 13 years old.
Okay.
And I looked it on my daughter's house, and that one is a minimum of 10 years old because the barn that used to be there is not there. Why haven't you annually done increments instead of going boom? And
well, first
I
of all, the photos that you're looking
at.
photos that you're looking at aren't all the photos. I took quite a few new ones this fall, but the system didn't allow me to update the old new photos in place of the old photos. There was a glitch in the county system and they still haven't got it worked out. As far as raising assessments, when I first came here, the town was at 100%. There was no reason to do anything with the assessments. As I got building permits, I would go out and check building permits. And when I checked a building permit, I would take up and down the road, make notes, change assessments accordingly, and so on. And then when I got reappointed 2019, the equalization rate started to drop, and the plan was we do a complete update in 2021. So that's why there's nothing done. But what you're saying is, why were there an increase, incremental increases along the way? It would have still been, he just said, when that 8% trend went across, you had a whole bunch of people come in and complain. So it's not going to be that much of a difference. And as the equalization rate dropped, it offset the fact that the property values were going up. So
why did it drop?
Because the properties were selling for more than what they were assessed. And it's been a boom the last 4 or 5 years.
Well,
and unfortunately, we could be by 2023, if this trend stays, your equalization rate could be back to 90%. Because the properties even right now are still selling above the assessments. I'm looking at the sales in Hastings, where there's a lot of sales, and they're coming in above the new ones I just put on. And here, the three or four that I've seen in the last month, they're above the assessments.
Okay. Now, you said our equalization rate was 83%.
Right.
That was what we used for the assessments. And then you put down full market value on the tax bill.
No, so, I didn't put... Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So... why are we not just, I'll use my house as an example. It's assessed for one number, and what you said was 100% of the value was about $30,000 more. And yet, when I got my recent bill, it was $42,000 more. So, and I'm not the only one that this happened to. So.
When I do the reassessment, I do not look at any of the old assessments. I don't care about them. We're doing complete reappraisal of every property. What they were last year, the year before, 83%, 100% doesn't make any difference. We're looking at a complete new slate. I don't care what the assessments were previously. We're looking at what the current market value is as of July 1st, 2020.
New York State says the assessors will assess every parcel every year. That is the law.
Okay.
If I can just add on to that.
I've been keeping the assessments up. I've been doing the new permits. Anything that's changed, anything that's burnt down, anything, the equalization rate has dropped. When I first got hired, we understood that there was no way we were going to be able, I don't know what you're really getting at. Would you want me to trend another 5 or 6% every year?
No, I want you to visit every property every year, like you're supposed to, according to New York State law.
I can touch base on that. Are you guys able to hear me?
Find your little computer and go, oh, look.
This fall, I visited just about 95% of every single property in this town.
Really?
Yes. I drove by every single one, and that's how I picked up some of the new construction that there's no permits for. And so I picked up a lot of the errors that were there. I probably measured 50 to 75 houses that the measurements were all screwed up on. I had Vern, we were looking at two new trailers that were actually, you know what? Those are RVs. He doesn't have to pay property tax on them. That's another whole story. And there was a couple other properties that I picked up that were never on the roll before. I mean, I've been more than doing my duty. And again, as far as keeping the assessments up, there's no way to keep them up. Not when the market has changed the way it has in the last 4 years. The market here has went completely, well, not just here, all over upstate New York, it's went that way.
But you're supposed to do it annually.
All the properties are supposed to be valued at the same percentage of assessment, yes. Whether it's 100, whether it's 83, whether it's 80, whether it's 10, whether it's 5. They're all supposed to be done at the same percentage. So if somebody just paid $100,000 for a house and the assessment is way and it equalizes out to more, then you lower the assessment on that one.
You just said you don't look at the assessments. You don't even look at them.
I'm talking about before we did the rebuild.
Jenna, can I ask you to interject there? You know, we're having people quote laws here, and I'm sure that you are well-versed in that. Can you comment on that?
Yes. What Mike is saying is, as far as a New York State...
unmute herself, but she hasn't come through yet.
Are you guys able to hear me? Are you guys able to hear me? Are you guys able to hear me?
Are you there, Devin?
Yes, I'm here. Are you able to hear me?
Hold on a second. Let's see here. No, the audio is on. Wait a minute. Let's try this.
Are you here now?
Okay, try it now, Devin.
It's echoing on my end, but are you able to hear me?
Yes.
I was just going to touch base and say exactly what Mike is saying. As far as a New York State, you know, as far as a legal standpoint, as far as annually, Mike only needs to have an assessment on each property annually. It's not a New York State law that that assessors need to physically look at each property or change the assessments every year. As far as taking pictures of properties, it's actually every 6 years for New York State. So Mike has been doing everything correct. This is typically how it does work. You know, where when assessments start to change and start to drop below 100 and get to like 83 as this example, that's typically when a town board would decide, okay, let's have the assessor go out and do a full reappraisal. So this is typical of what we see is, and also just to point out the 83%, that's an average. When the state sets the EAK rate, we don't look at individual properties and individual assessments. That's just an average to get the 83%. So that's why a reval is important at this point, because to get that 83%, some people might be, you know, close to 100 and other people might be closer to 60%. So this is why, you know, it's important. Once you start dropping below 100, it's important for Mike to go out and do a full reval like this and get everyone set back to 100%.
The other thing on that notice that was sent out, and Devin and the people at the county or at the state took my anger on that. The notice is wrong. When it shows you your current assessment and then shows you your new assessment, it shows you the change. That's not a true change. What you have to look at is what your full market value was in 2020 and your full market value in 2021. That is the change. So if the average assessment in the town should have went up by about 30%. So if you went from 100 to 130, your taxes have not changed. Now, if you went from 100 to 150, obviously your taxes went up. But the average increase in the town was right around 30%. The overall value of the town went up by 30%. The overall tax rates of the county, town, and schools went down by 30% because the total value of the town went up by 30%. So I can show you the tax rates that were used in those notices, and they all dropped by 30%. But the average increase in the town was 30%. That's why when you were talking earlier about 8%, that has nothing to do with anything. The average increase was 30%. So when you look across on that notice, if you see your full market value is 120 and the new value is 125, you're probably not going to see any increase in property taxes. But obviously, if it's more, a lot more, then you're going to start to see increases. But that 30% is, to me, was about kind of like the guideline. That's how much the overall value of the town was 30%.
And also what Mike said before was a good point. The levy itself does not change, as Mike said, just to touch base on that again. The amount of taxes, the overall amount, the levy is still going to be the same amount. So exactly what Mike said is, you know, some people's taxes will go up a little bit. There's that many people whose taxes are actually going down a little bit, that many people who are staying the same. the town and the county are not going to get any additional money. The levy is still the same. The total will still be the same of amount collected. So it's just getting everyone to pay their fair share. You know, there's people in the past, anyone whose taxes are going up now, it's kind of the point that they were not paying their fair share before now. So that's why a reval is a good thing to get everyone to make sure we're at 100% and paying their fair share.
Thank you, Devin. Sure.
I want to know when Mike's out there doing his job, Brent has permits. Does he upgrade the improvements so people can see that they have done? There's permits out there. Somebody's got an ingress on pool, but it doesn't show in the inventory.
What's on the inventory?
Yeah. Not a couple that I've looked at. No, I looked up the inventory and it's not on that.
You know for sure there was a permit.
Yep.
Well, depending what kind of food you're talking about.
I
without specific knowledge of which one you're talking about, I'd have to look. LS1s, I don't know. I mean, normally the inventories are updated. But there's enough activity in town where there aren't permits too. So I mean, and I'm sure Vern can test that too. He's probably chasing his tail half the time, trying to catch people doing so, especially back in that the Whiter, the Walter.
Jeff Whiter.
Yeah, that's back in there. So I've had a conversation with those people too. But yes, when Vern gives me a CO and says the 30x40 pole barn is done, I put it on the roll and I assess it.
Back in June.
If you give me the specific ones you're looking for, I can look.
Yeah, Mike, you said our equalization rate is at 83%. You raised it up 30%, so now we're up 113% equalization rate.
No. The average increase in town was roughly around, when you multiply 1.30 times 83, you come up around 105, 106, but the values went up about right around 30% on the average across the board.
Well, I just wondered if that was some area agreement for.
No, it's actually, I just got notice from the state today that your equalization rate is at 100%. It just came through this afternoon, they sent me an email.
Your question,
Steve?
Yeah. Okay. Justin. Yeah, I bought some property and that sheet he sent around and said that all the assessments were reevaluated from sales to 15 to 2020. And I bought some property and it's less than what I was assessed at, but yet he raised me $8,000, so I'm wondering how that's a good evaluation. I'm a sale, and you're assessing based on sales.
When did you buy the property?
2019.
It was about from 2019 to July 1st, 2020, there's about a 5% increase.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be $8,000. When I was already over assessed based on my sale.
Okay, I would have to look at the particular one you're talking about. I don't know. And how you bought it, and I'd have to know the particulars.
I bought it from a realtor company, like anyone else.
Okay.
Well, keep in mind that he's reevaluated the entire town. So to know specifics is pretty hard, and that's why we have the opportunity.
Well,
this property. Okay, to be honest, this means nothing to me, so you'll have to ask Mike.
What's their full market value went from 2020 to 2021?
Is that the lodge thing? Same in heaven or whatever?
Yep. That's the lodge. By the mental commercial property.
122
and
cemetery.
Why did full market value go down substantially?
The property on the 122 and Sam and Haven.
Again, if somebody wants to enlighten me with it, I'll take a look at it. I don't.
Powers own it. I couldn't think of their name. And Brendan Aaron bought it.
Actually, I had to write a letter to the bank on that property.
People have been asking
me. It has not been used for that purpose for over 10 years. It is no longer a personal property. It's a single family residential. It's not approved as a lodge.
Or a five-bedroom home.
It's a big house, but it's no longer a lodge.
What did it sell for?
Thank you so much.
It didn't sell for 186,000.
No, it sold for 30.
Yes.
Yeah.
The foreclosed on property.
All right. We call it accusation, whatever you want. That's not what we're going to do here. So if you have specific things you want to talk to Mike about or bring up, he is going to be available coming up. We've heard from the state.
She's not accusing. She's simply bringing some information. I've never met her in my life. That's not an accusation.
Okay, well, we're not talking about it anymore. Devin has already explained that he's followed the procedure correctly. Burns verifying that the procedure has been followed correctly, and we've made it pretty clear that you can come and talk to Mike at one of those opportunities or at grievance day, and then there's another opportunity to go to board of assessment review. So to continually pick on individual type things, I don't think we're gaining.
It's not an example of how it's not fair across the board.
Okay, so you can bring your thing in.
You can put words in my mouth, but that's not what I was saying.
Not put words in your mouth.
Well, don't put words in my mouth, but I didn't say that.
I don't believe I did. Listen to what Devin said. All we have to go with is the town board is what the state tells us, what the county tells us, and what Mike tells us. That's what we're heading down. Everybody's had more than their 3 minutes to talk, which is how we initially planned this meeting. And he reasonably answered most of the questions. I understand that people are still going to be frustrated. I get it. But that's where you can bring your problems to him in these continuing discussions. And then the Board of Assessment Review can look at things. And you move forward from there. We also have two options that Devin has provided us with websites, booklets. I don't know what more. We're not here to, fire Mike Maxwell tonight. Maybe down the road we will. I don't know. But right now we're not firing. So he was good enough to come. Devin was good enough to come and give out. Not opinions, but facts on how the revaluation process is occurring. So, I don't know where we go. Anybody else have any comments? Help me out here.
I think that we covered it quite well. The town board doesn't do any of that stuff either. We could come up with a budget and then you guys, the big thing that I wanted everybody to realize the 83% assessment, that means. That really needs it. We're paying more in the town of Bellevue for our school tax and our county tax. Because the other townships are at 100%, so we're paying like 117%, right? So we're paying more. That's the reason I think the previous board wanted to get us back up to 100%.
Well, it also had an effect on all your exemptions, because all the exemptions were multiplied by the 83. So even your star exemption was at 27 instead of being at 30 plus. And your enhanced star was, that was actually over, but it's actually even going to go up more. So they're actually going to come out with two new numbers for the enhanced star, and the star will actually be updated with a new rate. So then any of the veterans exemptions, anything else, always was multiplied by that 0.83. So it had an effect on a lot more things than just the assessments.
And the other thing before we move on, I just want to make sure that everybody here mentions it to other people. Mike is going to have this set up in here that you guys come in, take pictures, take photos, showing. He doesn't see things, you know, from his car, per se, and show him. Maybe he can stipulate and come to an agreement with you guys what you really think of it. I got to tell you, I've been here 65 years in Albion, and I cannot believe some of the prices that people are paying. My next door neighbor, what they got for their house. I can't believe that there's people, you know, politicians out there that are, I think, are stupid, but, you know, there's a lot of stupid people in our world that are willing to pay that kind of money.
They're all running out of New York City, New Jersey, and so they're stopping these deals for the people who lived here for 34 years. They don't have that kind of revenue. So now you're caught in the middle of both, like, okay, so we go.
You're right, New Jersey, but you know, I'm Amish too. They pay a lot per acre and so forth. And just so everybody knows, the Amish do pay taxes. The one thing that there's different between them and us, we usually pay with a check. Most of the time they pay with cash.
No.
They don't pay interest. They pay on time. Right? Which they make a lot more than what we think. Okay? Moving right along.
You still spend more.
Really? So you don't have the dates of when we can sit with him before grievance?
Yeah, he's gonna
send
out another.
Well, I'll send them up to I'll fax them with Amy tomorrow. So she can
go. Is there four?
4 days.
So, just kind of will and say, right? No.
And then grievance, so you know it's going to be June 1st instead of 2nd.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to make a resolution to that tonight.
Yeah.
10 to 2 and 6 to 8, right?
We can get the same outcome, though, sitting with you ahead.
Or, excuse me, 10 to noon and
10 to 12, 6 to 8.
6 to 8.
And we will not be leaving at 8 o'clock if people are still here.
That's whatever you want to do is fine with me.
I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it.
Well, the other thing is, if you adjourn to another day.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
The third.
But all of the grievances have to be in by close of business at 8 o'clock on the 1st. They cannot be carried over to somebody can't come in on June 3rd and say, oh, here's my grievance.
Right.
They won't be heard. Everything, all the paperwork, everything has to be here by 8 o'clock on June the 1st. That's written in stone.
Okay. The paperwork, but not the person.
Correct. The grievance form has to be here at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. We can stay till midnight if you want to, but I'm just saying at 8 o'clock, if the grievance form isn't here, then we don't hear them.
This is a grievance day of June 2nd?
That's not correct.
That's wrong. We've changed the
work. June 1st, and yes to the year 1st. Your original question, Mary Beth, he's going to have four other dates in May.
Perfect. And then we'll get the same return. Thank you for having me. We get the same response if we sit at will with him, then we'll get meeting to go to grievance.
Oh, you'll meet with him in May.
Yes.
And then if you don't get satisfaction, then you go to see the Board of Assessment Review.
No. So he'll make a decision literally that when we're sitting in front of us?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay, you're right. But I didn't hope you didn't wait for the mail. My broker brain just took the process.
You got the grievance board. Those three people
right there. Those three people right there. That's who you're going to be seeing.
There's Falcon, Nancy Shealy, and Donnie Little.
Okay. Devin, do you have any final comments that you'd like to make before we move on to the regular business of our meeting?
Yep, she's on, and I'm asking her to unmute if she was muted. So she should be able to talk if she wants to.
There we go. Now can you hear me? Nope, I think that's everything. I think in conclusion, everything that Mike said, and the next steps would be to talk with him. And if you don't agree with him, to go to grievance, like was said.
issue $10 or they're gone. I issued 2 building permits, 1 original and 1 renewal, 1 camper permit, and 2 junkyard permits. Petty cash is at $25 as of April 1st. And I gave the check for $6,016.19 to supervisor for penalties, late fees, and interest accrued from February to March. I took my books back with the check that they wanted. I'm done. Tax season is over with. And I am now on my 5-4s. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tax season is over.
Questions or comments for me?
Yes. Did you give them the invoice that I gave you?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you mentioned it. What is roughly the total intake from our tax base here? Roughly, I mean, I don't know.
The tax warrant?
Yeah, the tax warrant. Okay. What do we roughly?
The county tells me I had to pay or collect over $1 million.
Right. Okay.
And close to $2 million. The town gets a certain part of that.
Sure.
There's tax warrant. That is the first, and I always give it to by the 1st of February.
Mm-hmm.
But in January, I collected over $1 million. I gave the county $200,000 after I gave and settled with the town. The $6,000 is all the penalties, the 1%, 2%, the semi-notice fees, which is $2 for late fees after March.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the town. So I go back to zero. Okay. I just wrote a check for over $500,000, $573,000
mm-hmm.
to the county, settled up with that, with a list of all the unpaid, partial, and full. And they went right through and what they said, money on set for them.
Yeah,
the town gets their money first.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I have a motion to accept the report.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Bobby, could you give me a copy of the receipt?
Yes.
Right. I will keep copies of all those in my book. Supervisor's report. General money market. Receipts. Interest, $249.78. Justice fees and fines in March were $2,111. Clerk fees, $10. Building and junkyard permits, $0. Other compensation for loss, $476.19. We got our SETC payment of $8,804.70, which is exactly what they told me it would be. Dog license for $32.50. And one thing that's probably confusing to some people that listen, that's for previous month's report. Everything's a month behind my report comes up. So she just said, you know, she took in $20 in court fees, and you're not even saying $10 because it's a month behind. Highway money market interest was $24.82. Disbursements, my weekly payroll. Out of the general money market, the bi-weekly payroll number 5 was $2,309.15. Bi-weekly payroll number 6 was $2,800.03. Abstract number 3 was $66,367.12. General pay number 3, $7,174.80. Teamster Health and Hospital, $1,111.52. And a New York State one tax payment, $828.05. For a total of $80,490.67. Out of the highway money market, abstract number 3 was
$6.90. Highway biweekly payroll number 5 was $8,707.14. Highway biweekly payroll number 6 was $6,687.70. For a total of $34,981.74. Our account balances as of the last day of March 2021, general money market, $1,933,072.33. General checking, $33,716.93. Highway money market, $278,550.69. Highway checking, $35,653.03. Trust and agency, $18,129.06. Cemetery, $168,986.61. For a total of $2,468,108.35. Questions, comments? I have a motion to accept.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Second.
All in favor? Questions, comments on the general bills? I have a motion to accept.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Who's signing it? Randy or?
Doesn't matter.
Insurance would be like we did last year, where he just brings in the receipts. There's a set amount. You don't spend X amount of dollars. But you want to issue them a flux card for that, or just do the receipts. So we think about that. So,
do the flux card, correct?
I believe so. I believe so.
Yeah,
he used to
bring in receipts.
But I can tell you for 2019, when I first took over 2020, Steve literally brought in a bag of receipts.
I questioned that, so I didn't. Yeah, man.
old business. The LED lighting for the fire department. I just wanted to let everybody know that that Bill was very happy with it. I walked out there and it's pretty bright, pretty impressive. Corey, do you have any?
No, it just seems like the to me it's a money saver. You
know, I think everything about it was positive. Any other old business? Okay, new business.
Yeah. Sorry. No, I keep putting it on old too, but the track on all these highways is bad. Walk down LB Cross Road.
Yes.
It's horrible.
I actually talked to Seth.
It's horrible. And right in the little cracks. Everything they're dumping, a lot of it looks like bottles that can be used for making that. And we store a lot of pickles, so put a lot of that stuff. I stopped at the right way here 2 weeks ago and asked the boys if they could possibly take the fall of things and gun down and around the corner going up there and do whatever.
And I know he's also got part of Greater that's bad, and they're going to start doing the edge of the road next week. And kind of pick up service. Well,
we have the trailer
all done, I guess. Yep. This is something I don't know if the public is aware of yet, but you gave me a call last Wednesday, and then Thursday I got this official letter. The tailwater is again expanding with a 25,000 square foot, three-story, 21-room expansion. They are asking the IDA, the Oswego County Industrial Development Agency, for they don't call it a pilot agreement, they call it financial assistance. And the public hearing for that, conveniently, is the day after tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the morning, only by phone. So they've made it extremely convenient for us all to attend and to make comments. But I would like everybody in the public to know, well, this is an operation that's assessed for like $6 million now, and they're not paying very much. And now they're asking for more of a break. You know, it's good to see business coming in. I agree. I'm all for that, but come on. They should have to pay their fair share, or at least a bigger portion of their fair share. You know, maybe the rest of us would see the increases that we see. But again, that's nothing to do with us. This IDA comes in and makes his agreement, and Herb had actually said, he called him on the carpet, and he said, listen, this is sneaky, the way you're doing this. And the guy agreed with him. Yeah, we shouldn't really be able to do that. So,
but
So if anybody's interested, I have this information. If you want to call and be involved with that and make a comment, I don't know, maybe we can change for the future. I don't know. One question I had for Herb, and he couldn't answer this, and the IDA rep couldn't answer it as well. Does anybody follow up with these companies when they offer these great pilot agreements? Okay, they say they're going to hire 50 full-time employees. Does anybody follow up and say, find out if they did actually hire 50, if those 50 are getting benefits within our own county, if those 50 are living in our community, and if they're spending money at other local businesses in the community or even open Alaska or whatever, just in the local area? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. So when they're supposed to hire 50, they're maybe only hiring 30. You know, that type of thing. So there's no follow-up, there's no auditing of these and it's not just tailwater, don't get me wrong, it's all these businesses that apply for help through the IDA. In theory, it was a great idea to start with, but I'm not sure that they're following through with the job that they ought to be doing. So if anybody's interested, please get involved. I know most of us are probably working here today, so it's hard to be involved, but those of us that are retired,
Oh, if I get 5 minutes, I'll.
Sorry?
If I get 5 minutes, I'll stop there.
There you go. So that's one thing I wanted to make sure we brought up. Another important thing is sexual harassment training that is required for all town employees. Every person that collects a paycheck from the town must attend. NYMER this year is offering two different sessions. One is May 12th at 5:30 in the evening, and the other is June 23rd at 10 in the morning. I am going to go out on a limb and ask Rick if he would possibly try to make sure that we all get registered for one or the other. Part of the vote. It's online. So maybe we could set up a thing here. I think technically they should, yeah. You collect a paycheck. If we want to, we can do it. I come down on the 12th. By 5:30, you will set up the projector and we can do it here together.
Would this work if we went to the school? We have to take those schools, we do it here, we take it there.
If you have proof, if you have your certificate, yes, that is acceptable. But you have to be able to show the proof that you
have. I just won, and I took it last year. I think I went to the school.
I never got one.
You didn't take it then.
I did. I was right with his daughter when I took
that. I know we had one. I was here
way back
here.
Yep. Yeah, we did. We have to do it every year. And then we also, upcoming, just so you know, we're also going to do bloodborne pathogens and write some more for you. We'll all be set, hopefully, NYMER will do the same thing.
With NYMER, we should, if we're registered, we should get the certificate.
Yes.
Yes.
They said
we
would.
We didn't get one last year.
Hey, I have.
You got it?
Yep. Okay, so everybody knows about that. Paul can maybe comment a little bit more on this, although there's no reason for him to know anything about it. Matt Johnson contacted me regarding the solar law that would need to come up in the next 6 months. And he has handed off to Elena.
Yep.
She will be attending our next meeting, and prior to that next meeting, she will send us some information so that we can be up to speed on what she's going to talk about at that meeting, so that we can get that law in place as soon as possible, rather than make it go away.
Which one did there too? And solar.
Yeah, the parts is also good.
And we can look at theirs as well.
Yep. Parrish did too, actually, right?
Yep. We worked with Parrish on that.
Yep.
And
so the Federal Commission has been very helpful as far as I'm concerned with that. Sorry?
Yeah, May 12th, but what time?
5:30.
The solar law, what's that consist of?
Basically, all this. If you want to put in a solar system at your house, you're fine. No problem at all.
Yep.
It's to stop these solar farms that you see where they cover acres of land with solar panels.
Yep.
We're not going to allow that without presentation,
approval of the
environmental
board. Because if that was the case, everybody, your brother would think, I want to start selling to make money and start putting up.
Exactly.
You got to look at the environment.
Yeah, I want that to happen.
Sure. Okay.
So they'll be at the May meeting. Elena will be here. And I didn't have anything else on review business.
I've got one thing that I'd love to bring up. I wish Ted was here. Part-time employees. With their present circumstances when the teams are local.
Yep.
I'd like to make, if you guys have read that over, part-time employees, I don't want them to work more than 39 hours a week. Well, I don't know if we can get away with it at that time. You've got a fourth person on.
Right.
If we allow that, I don't think that we want to pay health insurance on that group. So if it's 40 hours, he's no longer a part-time employee.
Right.
Okay. So I think we're going to need a resolution for that. Yeah, whatever you know. I mean, come on now. Yeah. You always come in early, send them home, and
you want to do that now, or do you want me to discuss it with Rebecca first, or?
We haven't done anything on that yet, but with
I don't disagree, especially with the world we're going down there.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at big dollars from the people right now from that. Which not on temporary employees, not non-permanent employees.
Right.
I mean, you're talking over $15,000, $16,000, $17,000 that they want to finance for that. They weren't even permanent employees. So. Got to curtail that, I think, for the taxpayer.
Yes.
With the Teamsters, we had to lay them off for a week so they wouldn't get it, and then they would start back to the norm. They kept a book, kept a record of how many days they worked, and they got close to it. We laid them off for a week so they didn't have to pay for nothing. Now we hired them back.
I'm not talking about our permanent employees.
Right. No. Yeah. But they're part time. We had to keep a book.
Where
are
you talking about?
I worked at Teamsters at St. Johnsbury, and we had to keep booking. It's Teamsters. And if you go over there, then they're going to get out of insurance, and they didn't want to do it. So we kept track, laid them off a week, and come back to the part time employee. And that stopped that.
We're going to have to do something because it's not right for the taxpayers to pick up that much money for no reason. Yeah, if you want to talk it over with Rebecca and so on, can you mention that we can get it started now?
Yes. That would be
a big thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think
that's important. You'll see it on the payroll stuff.
Okay, what do you agree with that?
Yeah. Same thing with the cemetery.
I don't know. Okay, anyway, anything else under new business?
No, I've got one question though. Nancy, did you know what that signature was?
I said to him, I don't believe the powers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You can mention that to Rebecca.
Yeah.
I think it's bogus.
It's legit. I mean, it came from the union, but
where
from the union?
Yeah. Right. And they're attorney very in Utica, big time.
Right. Yeah, a lot of those emails again, stuff like that. Yeah, this is stuff. It's Kinsburg.com. You want to look closely because then they'll say dot. CPKO or something like that, that's a scam. That'll pick your vendor, that's a scam. Right.
Okay. And I have a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
I work with the New York State Tug Guild.
Okay. And I was kind of like an advisor.
Yeah.
Which one were you doing?
I don't know. Workshops?
Yeah.
There you go.
And a lot of these, if you go to the Tug website, it's www.tugguild.com. under publications. This is the most recent issue, which was just last Friday of April 9th. And if you go to that, then you'll find why. Oh, click on really. Type all that stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you look at that, I don't want to type that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I actually finished my office. I actually have an email that I sent